we get it all mixed up. Because we think as long as I'm doing, then I'm doing something right, as opposed to abiding or being. And I know how hard that, trust me, I know how hard that is, but I'm reading God's word right now, and I'm saying, if you abide in me.
Just how important is prayer to you? The Bible has words all over the place calling us as followers of Jesus Christ to be people who are praying. In fact, Jesus himself says in John chapter 15, verse 7, that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, that whatever we ask for, it will be done for us. What does that mean, though? How important is prayer in your life, and what kind of power can there be found in prayer? These are great questions, and if you're asking those questions, you've hit the right place. Hey, welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and you've joined us for a series on the power of prayer. If you'd like to order a copy of this message today, or even if you'd like to get more information about Live in the Light, we'd encourage you to visit us online at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Well, the power of prayer is at hand today. We trust you are encouraged. We trust you're ready to go for this. John chapter 15, verse 7 is where we're going. And here's our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
I mean, prayer is the plan, because if you move beyond, you know, the meetings you walk into that are these spiritual meetings, and you walk in, some token prayers lifted up for about 30 seconds, and you move on to the business of the day. You got that backwards, man. You got that backwards. Front loaded with prayer. God, we can't do this. God, we don't know. God, we need you. God, help us. And then maybe 30 seconds of business. If that's the way, if you're going to be one or the other, I choose prayer. Because that's what God uses. But see, we get it all mixed up. Because we think as long as I'm doing, then I'm doing something right, as opposed to abiding or being. And I know how hard that, trust me, I know how hard that is, but I'm reading God's word right now, and I'm saying, if you abide in me. That's the condition. If you abide in me. You know, the context of our chapter here too, in verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Last time I checked, nothing means nothing. Yes. So apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. So a branch severed from the vine has no possibility of fruit. Let's get that. If we're not abiding in Christ, it's over. But a branch that is attached to the vine, listen, has the possibility of impossibility. You hear what I'm saying? The branch attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, you are attaching yourself to the God of the impossible. So you now have the possibility of impossibility upon your life, because you are attached to the one who can do all things. That is awesome. That's what we are being challenged to believe right now. So much more in what we've seen, so much more maybe than even we've believed in the past. How much God will do through people who truly seek to abide in him. Notice insight here as well. God's design for his church, Jesus is the vine, his children are the branches. The fruit can only come through the branches. The fruit isn't in the vine itself, it's in the branches. So in God's design, he doesn't need us, but God chooses to use us in his design, that the fruit must come through the church. The fruit must come through his children. God has made it such. He's sovereign. He's in control. But he has chosen to allow all the fruit of his son must come through the children in his church. So that's amazing. So then the opportunity is, we are the ones being called to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, because we are the branches that are attached to the vine. But then the real question remains, how much do I want fruit to come through my life? Because if I want the fruit, I will choose then to abide. And those who don't abide have no fruit. But those who do abide, then tons of fruit come from the one who takes Jesus Christ at his word. Awesome, awesome, deep, deep, rich text. What Jesus is saying here, there is no fruit apart from Jesus Christ, yet the abundance of fruit that can come in him as we choose to abide in this way. See, now, look at what Jesus is saying here. prayer now, prayer is abiding. Prayer then is the fruit of abiding. It's all tied in, it's one and the same. Prayer now becomes everything. Success in this series, we'll see prayer is not a chore. It's not a chore. Prayer is life. Prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Like you're singing today, man, you're praying worship. You know, like when I walk around my house and I use the worship songs of prayer and tears fill my eyes and my kids are like, there goes dad again, dancing daddy over in the corner. You know what I'm saying? But there I am because it's how God uses to pray and to, it's not just, here's my list, God, pump a punch vending machine. What do you got for me? That's not prayer. There's so much more than that. Prayer is a life lived of praise to God. And if we're not praying in this way, we're dying. He's calling us for this. See, this is why then Spurgeon says this then, power in prayer, let's get that, power in prayer is the gauge, it's very much the gauge. This is a hard little sentence to read right here. Because of vine branches abiding in me, the condition there, power in prayer then is very much the gauge of our spiritual condition. How are we doing? See, and you can't get around this. You can't be like, well, someone else is gifted to pray. I'm not really gifted to pray. No, no, no. If you're attached to the vine, you pray. See, the fruit that comes from Christ is prayer in so many various forms. It's impossible theologically to be abiding and not praying. That's what Jesus is saying. So if we're attached as a church, and we have men and women hungering for the Lord and we're abiding in Christ, we will see power. We will see prayer. It's what God does. You can't stop a healthy apple tree from growing apples. You can't stop a healthy Christian from seeing power in prayer in their life. Some of you say, well, what does abiding look like exactly? How do I abide? I would say it this way. Abiding is anything that enhances your life with Christ. It's anything that enhances your intimacy, your walk with Jesus Christ. It's not only sitting down for devotional time. That's massively important in my life. But here's helpful. In the negative, sin is anti-abiding. I mean, habits of sin is anti-abiding. It's ruining our walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, you are choosing whether you are to be here. This is an opportunity of abiding. Singing worship is opportunity for abiding. It's found in prayer. Fellowship with one another in worship and prayer and loving each other is a process of abiding in Christ. Sitting down with word open and looking at your God and loving him in prayer as the truth flows over you. It's all abiding. And the more we abide, if you abide in me, then we will see power of God's Son come through our lives. I took some time on that first point because it's really the entire message. And if we don't get this down, then there's no point in moving on. The starting point for powerful prayer is the Son of God. Number two, the alignment of powerful prayer is God's Word. So the starting point's God's Son. The alignment is God's Word. Should be no surprise. Jesus says in verse 7, I challenge you to memorize this verse, by the way, too. Jesus says, if you abide in me, and now he says, and. So here's another condition. And my words abide in you. Then he says, ask whatever you wish. But notice what's happening here. It's the abiding in Christ, the love for him. Now it's the word of God. Of course, the word of Christ. The word of God. I'm absolutely convinced the two greatest weapons we hold as believers spiritually are prayer and the word of God. Prayer and the word of God. Ephesians 6, chapter in spiritual warfare, Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? Right? This is our sword. This is our weapon. But the next word's often forgotten. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. Praying is the next word. Praying at all times. Take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. The ministry of the elders is the ministry of prayer and the word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Of course, this makes so much sense to me. This is why as I grow in Christ more and more, my time in the Lord by myself early in the morning, it's not just I read the Bible, close it and pray. I'm finding more and more I'm reading and praying It's as you read God's word, you are praying God's word. It makes so much sense to me because the two aren't supposed to be separated. It's not a problem if you have time of study and time of prayer. That's so great. I'm just finding for me, it's so natural to be in God's word, stirred by God's spirit, and praying in God's spirit at the same time. Because when I'm praying God's word, I know I'm praying God's will. And that's why God has given us his word. And that's why Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. Because at that moment, you are hearing Christ, you are loving Christ, you are being led by Christ because you have the word of Christ in your heart, and you know you can't go wrong at that moment. You know you are praying what God wants for your life. That's why if someone says they are an abider in Christ, but they are rejecting God's word, that's theologically impossible. You cannot be a true abider and move away from God's word. As you move away from the words of Christ, you are misaligning yourself with Christ. Jesus is over here and you're over here somewhere, man. You've missed the train. The boat has left. You're not getting on that bus because Christ is in his word. And anyone who's trying to suggest otherwise, they are deceived. If you truly want to abide, you must abide in the words of Christ because the word of God becomes everything. The word of God, then this is why the word of God is our map and our compass. It's medicine for our soul. It's a purifier from our sin. It cleanses us. It's our lamp to our feet. It's a counselor. It's a forecaster. It's a sword. It's a hammer. It's a game changer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now I love when this happens, and I hope you pick up what I'm putting down right now. But when you just step back for a little bit, I believe God has already proven his point in a ton of ways. Because what has just happened since this sermon began? Where is this message coming from? Where is the call from God for powerful prayer coming from? It's coming from here. There is no sermon apart from John 15, verse 7 today. And so think about what's happening. Your heart's being stirred because the word of God is being poured over you and spoken over you. And you probably naturally are hearing these things and you've already begun to pray. Yes, Lord, I want to abide. Yes, Lord, I want your words to abide in me. Yes, Lord, I want to be seen in powerful prayer. Yes, Lord, what's happened? It's the word of God combining with prayer and the spirit of God to abide in Jesus Christ to see you look more like him. You see what's happening, man? It's happening because this is what God uses. You don't close the Bible. You open it and pray. You allow the Lord to use, if I abide in Christ and his words abide in me, ask. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's what God does. It's what we're being led to and called to. Again, the word of God allows us to know we are praying according to God's will. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. That takes us to point number three, the result of powerful prayer. God moves. So starting point, God's son, alignment, God's word. Result, God moves. God moves through powerful prayer. Now this only makes sense to me because if you're attached to God's son, you're thinking God's thoughts from his word, then you're walking in God's ways. And if you're walking in the ways of God, you can't help but see God move. And that's just what's going to happen through our lives. How God determines, but we know God will move. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, the problem with that phrase is some believers take that phrase by itself without putting it into the proper context of the verse, not to mention the chapter and even the rest of the Bible. So some believers say, ask whatever you wish. Sweet, man. I want a new car. No. You've missed the board entirely. Most of you understand this right now. Some of you maybe not, though. That's not what's happening here. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a time maybe God doesn't want to bless you with something new like that, but the point is if you're going for selfish gain, this is what I want, that's not what ask whatever you wish is saying. The secret to God moving through our prayers is to pray according to his will. When you abide in Jesus Christ, you think like Jesus Christ, you pray like Jesus Christ. Psalm 34 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what's key there? The delight is key. It's the delight yourself in the Lord, And when you delight in the Lord, you're abiding in Christ. When you're abiding in Christ, you're aligned with his word. You're aligned with his word. You begin to ask for the things that God wants for your life. If you ask for the things God is asking for, you see them answered. And remember, God always knows what's best for us. God's plan is always 100% our joy and for his glory. It is never, ever a bad thing. We might temporarily see it as a bad thing. In the end, we will say that was the best. God can't make mistakes. And we pray according to his will, man. We will see amazing things. But don't let foolish prayers or immature prayers. God doesn't answer my prayer. I didn't get my new car. Right? Don't let that take away from God wants to move through our prayers. God wants to move through this church. Put it another astoundingly awesome way, our powerful prayers actually move God. He is sovereign, he's in control, he has designed it, that he operates through the prayers of his people. He burdens us right now. He's calling us to greater levels of prayer because he wants to do something. Because he's going to do something. He wants to save lives. He wants to advance his kingdom. He wants his glory to be seen. He's compelling us to pray because he's about to move. Abide in him. His words abide in us. Ask whatever you wish. It will be done. It will be done for you. Spiritually, what God is doing right here, Jesus, when he says, ask whatever you wish, he is handing us, spiritually, he's handing us a blank check. He signs the bottom, puts your name on it, and says, you fill in the amount. Spiritually, he's handing us a blank check and signing the bottom and handing it to us saying, you fill in the amount. That's incredible. So I've been thinking about that. And how much should I put in? This is pretty awesome. And that's one of the realities we face right now. God says, how much do you believe? Are you asking? Are you abiding? Do you really believe what God is saying to you today? That as you abide in him, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Notice too, loved ones, notice what happens as you abide. In verse 8, fruit. In verse 9, love. In verse 11, joy. Notice that. See, the abiding and the fruitfulness that comes through the prayers we begin to pray in power, and the result will be much, much fruit. It will be joy. It will be love. A branch that abides in the vine can't help but bear beautiful, powerful, delicious fruit. The result of powerful prayers that God moves in his glory. God moves in our lives. Listen, don't ever give up praying God's will. Don't ever give up. Some of you have been praying for days or weeks or months. Some of you have been praying for years. Don't give up. God says to you, don't give up. I don't understand the way that God works. He's so far beyond us, but I know what he's saying to us today. He is saying, don't give up, my child, and praying and believing. I mean, George Mueller prayed for 30 years for someone to be saved, and he prayed his whole life, and after he died, someone then came to Christ. Don't give up. And calling upon the Lord for things that would be his will. You have to believe, you have to be convinced categorically that prayer works. One of the greatest turning points of my prayer thinking and life was when I read Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. I was in my early 20s. I was a fairly new believer, but I was a youth pastor. Don't ask how that happened. God, I don't know what's going on, okay? Just found myself in ministry. Didn't want to be, but there I was. And I read this book, and I read this simple testimony of this man and his wife who were trusting God in Brooklyn for the things the Lord promised to him, and it was all through prayer. You know, I read that book, and as a man in my early 20s, and I was so captivated and so moved by it, I closed the book, and two words came to my mind: prayer works. Like, I was just categorically convinced, I gotta pray. Like, I knew prayer was important, but now I'm like, no, wait. It's not just important. Like I won't see God do anything if I don't pray as a life. And so I was in this church as a youth pastor, and I had this burden for this prayer meeting before the church. And I was going to go out and cast my net of vision for prayer and to see how many of the church would join me in calling out to God for our pastor as he preached and as our service, that God would move. And do you know how many people joined me in this captivating vision for prayer? 2.5 people. That's right, 2.5 people join me in praying each week. And the reason I say 0.5, because there's one woman who came with me like all the time, one of the mothers of the youth I was leading. And then this other guy came every now and then. And so on average, we had two of us, 2.5 of us. But we were there. We believed this woman, she had soul. You know what I'm saying? Like, she believed in prayer. And we were there and we were interceding for our church. And it's so amazing. You know what's so cool about that? This woman who believed in prayer with me at that time, she now attends our church here. And I get to see her often and to look back and say, remember what God did and how he moved. I remember being so convicted of prayer. It was like I walk into the worship center and the worship leader would turn around. He would see me and then he started calling me. Oh, here comes Rob. Here comes the prayer cop. You know, I better start praying, you know, because I was so convinced that if we don't pray, what are we doing? Like, what's the point? We can't do this. We're not going to see any fruit. So as a youth pastor, I remember without a doubt, every single time as we gather, it's so simple. It seems so basic. It is, but this is the point. Are you doing it? We gathered as leaders. Every night we gathered and seriously called out to God that he would bear fruit. It was a fruitful night. And whenever we lacked in prayer before youth ministry, it was a lacking night of fruitfulness. Imagine that. Imagine praying and God answering. Imagine not praying and not seeing what God will do. That's the burden I've carried ever since that time. It's so simple, but I know there's a lot of people not living that stuff out because we've rationalized in our minds an excuse. And as we come into this place now and we have all this stuff around us, our temptation will be, we kind of got it taken care of. We got nothing, man. We have nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. I have no ability apart from the Lord. I have no strength apart from Jesus Christ. I have nothing and you have nothing. And that's when we see ourselves as we are. Christ holds everything. And so then you begin to say, I cannot live or exist apart from my Savior. I must abide. His words must abide in me. Then I ask and I believe that God will do amazing, mighty and powerful things for his glory. But it starts with a man and a woman who believes in the power of prayer. It starts with the church burdened and convinced. The only way we'll see this is if we look to God to get it done. One last Spurgeon thing. He had the Metropolitan in London Tabernacle. London Metropolitan Tabernacle. Big, big church that was built over many years and a lot of faith and a lot of money. And he would take people, he had ministries that influenced. I mean, here we are talking about him today again. And just his impact is as much now as ever. Just thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I mean, just a man that loved the Lord. You know what he said? He'd take people through his church and he'd come down to the basement. And almost always there'd be people praying there on their knees, interceding on behalf of the ministry. And he would say, without a doubt, he would say, this is the powerhouse of this church. And he would openly say as well, he says, I firmly believe the only reason we're seeing the blessing we are and the way that God is using, because the saints of the church have chosen to believe in the power of prayer and are calling out on my behalf over and over and over again. You see, if you want God to move in your life, if you want God to move in your family, if you want God to move in your loved ones, you don't need a preacher. You need God. You need God. And so you will begin to call out to God that we might see the things that we so long to see that only happens through prayer. So, where do we start? There's a lot coming down the pipe in this next month on prayer. But let's start here. I wrote down six things, super practical. Where do I start as I seek to abide in prayer this week? First of all, read the word in prayer. It's really is that simple. I mean, start by making time to abide. Read the word in prayer. Now, what I know is that not all of us are doing that. You have to convince yourself, if you don't abide, you will not bear fruit. This isn't workspace stuff. This is giving the opportunity to be attached to the vine so the power flows through you. Hear me? This isn't like, okay, now I'm pleasing God. I got my check mark. No. It's like, I am desperate for God. So I got to get myself to the vine so his power can flow through my life. That's what we're doing there, right? So you got to fight against legalism. It's not like, I got to be a good Christian today. No. You got to get the power of Christ in your life. And there's no other way than taking time to do it. Read the word in prayer. Secondly, worship in prayer. Worship in prayer. God uses music in my life. I am a worshiper in song. I love to sing praise and worship to my God, and it turns into prayer over and over and over again. It lifts my spirits. It changes our home. It gets our kids dancing. Praise the Lord. It allows us to hear from our God in a new way. It's not just one thing or the other. Thirdly, obviously, abide in prayer. Think about abiding. So this is pray about praying. Like, start with that right now. Pray that God would give you a burden to pray. You're like, I've never had that burden. Well, because maybe you never asked. Many of us are at the starting point of like, well, I'm not there. Pray that you would. Listen, when you're hungry, you go to the fridge. When you're thirsty, you get a drink. When you're hungry for the Lord, you abide in him in prayer. If you have a hunger, you will satisfy the hungers of your life. When you hunger for the Lord, you abide in him. Fourthly, buy a book on prayer. What I mean is get a good book on prayer to accompany this series. Now, we just so happen to have in our bookstore right now 5 or 6 amazing, carefully selected titles on prayer that I believe God will use to help change your life. So you can go after this service whenever you want, and you can buy a book on prayer that you can have Bible. And I just find it so, when I have the quotes I started with, when I let them filter through my heart, it convinces me right away what I've formerly known. Prayer's a big deal. And to hear the testimony of others who've gone before us, testifying to God's power through prayer, that only brings great encouragement. Buy a book and read it. And you'll be able to read this book once a year, and God will use that. Fifthly, I said this already basically, but believe in prayer. Believe in prayer. That's really the essence of right now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish me to. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do I believe that? Because if we believe that, we'll do something about it. We have to choose. I believe that prayer is as powerful as Jesus says. And sixthly and lastly, engage in prayer. Engage in prayer everywhere. Engage in prayer everywhere. All right? Engage in prayer everywhere. You guys want to say that, don't you? Don't you? Engage in prayer everywhere. And what does that mean, man? Like, it means there should be people praying all the time, all over the place. It's going beyond, hey man, I'll pray for you, Neil. I'll pray for you. No. I'm going to pray for you right now. Right now, I'm going to pray for you. Thanks, hon. I'll see you tonight. I come home for dinner, whatever. Bless you. Praying for you. No. Take your wife's hand for 30 seconds and say, God, this day is yours. We love you, Lord. Bless this family. Lead us. We need you, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. It can be simple as that. Give her a kiss and walk out the door. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we need to choose to do. I was at the hospitality team meeting this week, and I got to put on a little apron and serve our hospitality team. They're amazing. I love that ministry so much. Don't you like the food that we have in this church and how blessed we are with them? Amen. Amen. But we're at the hospitality meeting, and it turned into a bit of a prayer meeting. Love this church. And then afterwards, there's like refreshments and food being served in there. I look around the room, there's people praying. People praying over there, people praying over there, people praying over there. I'm like, that's awesome. Walking through the foyer, should be people praying and caring for one another. I mean, like, I challenge you, before you leave today, grab someone's hand, pray today before you leave this building. Pray tonight before you go to bed. Believe in the power of prayer. Engage in prayer everywhere. Choose to see what God will do. All of this is abiding. All of this is seeing. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be done. Listen, not by us, for us. Abide and watch Christ work. The opportunity is immense.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.